I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Texans training camp is happening now.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Phillip Rivers has been giddy this offseason. New Colts quarterback Phillip Rivers. They mic'd him up. At practice, we know he's been known to talk a little bit of trash.
Yeah, a little bit.
Of a taste of Phillip Rivers doing what he do during a Indianapolis Colts practice.
A little football, play a little real football as I'm mic'd up. I can't believe we're not running at day one. Jeez. Right to it, baby.
Yeah, done.
I'll see you later.
Done.
3 days last week. Started Wednesday. I mean, they're going every day, so we'll see. But it's all good. Came home happy all 3 days, so that's good.
But look back just a tick sooner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did T.Y.
Yeah.
Pretty good move there, Flus. Change the call. Turkey.
Yeah.
Go get it.
Yeah.
Ah.
Son.
Catch that.
Oh, yes. Does that look good?
Son. Flatten it. Dead gummit. Flatten it.
Son of a gun.
Right here. Right here.
Son.
Oh, good cut. Oh, good cut.
Yeah.
Nice job, man. Nice job.
All right. Nothing spectacular there, but he's a chatterbox.
He's giddy.
Yeah, he's a chatterbox.
He's giddy. He's in heaven. He's chasing that ring. He's looking for that bling. Indianapolis, they were a popular Super Bowl pick this time a year ago. Andrew Luck had not retired yet. They were a dark horse pick. Now, kind of an under-the-radar squad, although they are
getting more and more on the radar.
To many, but they're kind of considered somewhat of an under-the-radar squad. Don't know really what tier they belong in, and a lot of it's going to depend on Phillip Rivers. Texans versus Chiefs in 3 weeks. Darren Fells, big part of what the Texans did last year. 7 touchdowns, franchise record for a tight end. He met with the media types live at the podium, and here's a little taste of what the starting tight end for the Houston Texans had to say.
What has it been like to be teammates with David Johnson again, and how have you helped him kind of get familiar in this weird kind of offseason?
It's been a lot of fun because we played in Arizona for 4 years. So being able to rekindle our little relationship we had in Arizona and now back here in Houston, it's been a lot of fun catching up. And now he has 2 kids. I have 2 kids. So we're trying to, obviously at times we can't really get together as much as we want to, but we're just relating to each other in that aspect. And then just helping him out with the offense as much as I can. He's a huge threat, both in the pass game and run game. So someone we can really use.
Hey, Darren. Jordan Thomas and Kahale Warren were both guys that were on IR for parts or all of your first season here. What have you thought of each of them so far in practice?
I've always thought those two are extremely great athletes, great players. Biggest thing in them for them is just getting out there. So when they're able to get on the field, I have no doubt in my mind that they can perform extremely well. Biggest thing with Kahale, I guess with JT as well, is just getting them into a game mode as quickly as possible. So I'm just trying to help them speed that process up.
Greg Bailey. You got to unmute, Greg.
Hey, Darren.
Hey, Darren, you got me now?
Yeah.
Perfect. Just to expand a little bit on this one more year, and it's more football. How would you describe what you've given to the game of football and what the game of football has given to you in this kind of remarkable journey?
That's a good question. Football to me is the ultimate team sport. So I've built a lot of great relationships.
Great question. What is he talking about?
Football has definitely brought a family mentality for me. So being able to play in the league for 8 years and build great relationships and playing football is a dream, especially in the NFL, is a huge dream that a lot of guys don't don't get to do, and I'm doing that. So it is that's pretty much it right there.
Hi, Darren. I was wondering, during this interesting off season, what kinds of things were you doing during quarantine?
Not a lot. My wife made me stay home because she said I'm the money maker, so I'm not allowed to get sick. So I was doing a lot more fatherhood stuff. I have a 4-year-old and 2-year-old, so we were doing a lot of bike riding, swimming. I just spent a lot of time with my kids and enjoying that time that I had.
I like Darren Fellows. Good guy.
I don't know who his wife is, but I like her style. You are the moneymaker. You just take care of yourself.
Good for her. Your ass in the house.
Good for her. I like that.
Get your butt in the house. Stay out of trouble. That's basically what Darren Fells.
But honey, no honey. No honey.
What did I tell you?
Yes, exactly right.
You look at the guys that the Texans had on 1-year deals last year. Fells, Carlos Hyde,
mm-hmm.
Bradley Roby. Those were the guys that they had on the 1-year deals, and they paid off. Hyde, 1,000 yards rushing. Fells, franchise record, 7 touchdowns for a tight end. Roby obviously earned his payday. They don't really have those guys this year on the 1-year deal. Most of the guys that they signed are going to be here for 2 years minimum in a long time moving forward. I always like to have the guys on the 1-year deal. I like when guys are basically using you to take that next step and they're motivated to get that next contract. Not as many of those guys this year for the Texans.
But there are, I mean, I like the guys that are playing on their last year of their contract.
Zach Cunningham, Will Fuller, Kenny Stills, Dylan Cole.
And those are important pieces. I mean, that's not guys that are, you know, peripheral. Well, we'll see if we can get something out of them. I mean, Will Fuller has a contract type of year that most players, you know, have, because it's such a motivation and they tend to just have those good years when they're about to get paid. He could have a huge season. I mean, just based on what most players do on their contract years.
Yeah, Will Fuller could play his way
mm-hmm.
into it.
And he knows it.
He could play his way into a situation where the Texans are going to have to make a pretty interesting decision, because Brandon Cooks has a year remaining on his deal, but it's not guaranteed. So if Will Fuller is by far and away the best receiver on this team, I don't know how they're going to handle that. I don't know if they restructure Brandon Cooks. I don't know if they franchise tag Will Fuller. I mean, he could play his way into a situation where you
have to pay him.
I guess.
You have to.
But then what do you do with Cooks?
Well, I mean,
you gave up a second rounder for him.
I know. Will Fuller is younger and, you know, certainly potential to be better. And if he has that kind of year, you got to pay him. I know he's had the injury history, but you got to.
You got the Rams paying half the salary right now of Cooks, and then it's much like J.J. Watt in that I think it's $16 million next year, but it's not guaranteed. But how bad does it look if Brandon Cooks isn't back for multiple years when you gave up the second-round pick for him?
I mean, it looks really bad, and that's one of the things that I don't think they really care about right now. They're trying to win. They're trying to get the most out of him. They'll try to keep him and maybe work it out later how they can keep more than one, but at that kind of salary. But you just gotta play right now with that with the players that are getting paid right now. Worry about the bills later, and that's across the board right now.
I don't know what the salary cap situation is going to look like for the Texans,
and it's probably going to go down.
Yeah, it's going to go down. I don't think we're going to see the cap jump like we initially thought, and then they'll have to figure that out. You think Watson's going to get that deal? I mean, it looked like he was going to get the deal before camp. Now we're 3 weeks out. You still think he gets that deal?
Yeah, I think all along they've kind of had the target date of maybe the week before the season begins. Nothing's changed. I mean, what are we, 3 weeks away? So I think it'll happen here in the next couple of weeks. They have to. I mean, they don't have to. Talk about not having a choice. You got no choice. If they kick it down the road, it's just going to be ugly all
predict
year long.
And predict the amount.
I think. Well, you know, I'm not among the norm here. A lot of people say 3 or 4 years, you know, or whatever. I think it behooves Deshaun Watson to get a 6, 7, maybe 8-year deal. I really do.
So what's the number?
Get paid. Well, I'm going to say 8 years.
500 mil?
Everybody who covers this team is rolling their eyes at me. I don't care.
400 mil?
I'm talking about for my purposes, if I were Deshaun Watson. 8 years. Yeah, I mean.
He ain't signing no 8-year deal.
Everybody's saying that, and I get it, and I'm probably wrong. I'm saying in an ideal world, 8 years is perfect for him. Because if you haven't heard my take on this, it gives him the insulation, okay? Like, you want me to play for Bill O'Brien, and I'm not even sure. And he's kind of hinted around a couple of things. We've played some of his comments in recent weeks about, you know, that Patrick Mahomes had his situation. Mine's totally different. What he's saying there is, I'm not so sure, just like you guys, without saying it, that Bill O'Brien is going to be my guy, all right? So if you want me to sign here and stay here, you better give me a nice, fat, long deal with an enormous guarantee. That way, if Bill O'Brien is the guy, we're set. If he's gone in 2 years, I'm still getting paid when the new guy comes in. So I'll say 8 years for right at 400, right? 400 million?
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to go 5 years, 255.
Are we going official on this?
I'm going five. I think he signs a 5-year, $255 million deal. I think he's going to meet in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
8 years, no way.
No, not 400. Not 400. I'll say $380 million.
All right. I got 255. 5 years, 255.
I'm going to say 8 years, $375 million. Lock it in. Final answer. And that's how I would think about it. Because all these guys about, well, you're going to get, he wants to get his second contract. Okay, that's sound reasoning. But he's had two ACLs. He's playing for a coach that, even though he's saying all the right things, you got to know he and his agent are not exactly sure if Bill O'Brien is going to be here. He's, you know, why settle for a 3 or 4 year contract with something of an injury history and a coach who that you're not 100% confident in? Go ahead and extend it. Get the big deal. Get the long deal. Maybe not 10 years like Patrick Mahomes, but something that'll make you feel really good if you have to stay here and you're not happy with Bill O'Brien or there's a new coach.
I think they would be smart to sign Zach Cunningham now.
Yeah.
You know, like in the past, they've kind of let it, well, if he gets much better, it's going to be very expensive.
Yes.
And plus, you don't want to be in a situation where if you have Will Fuller, if Will Fuller has a good year and Zach Cunningham has another good year, you can only franchise tag one of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to get Zach Cunningham taken care of right now. And they need to handle their business when it comes to Zach Cunningham.
Because he could be like, it could add millions if he has a huge year.
I mean, you're talking like 14 mil a year or something like that. I looked at the Quan Alexander deal, I think, with the 49ers or whatever it was. I think that's the type of money that you could be talking if Zach Cunningham, if he improves as much as he did last year, I mean, look out.
Yeah.
He could become one of the highest paid linebackers in the league because these guys don't hit the market. So I think it would be in their best interest. Deshaun's not going anywhere. You got him on his fifth-year option. So even if you don't come to a deal with Deshaun Watson in the next 3 weeks, it's cool because you're still going to have him 5 years.
Cool, it'll be a lot of noise.
There'll be a lot going on. But I think Cunningham is the most important guy that you got to lock up and not let him and Will Fuller be unrestricted free agents at the same time.
And here's one more thing on Deshaun Watson and why I may be the only person in town saying this. I understand it. I know I'm probably going to be wrong. But why I would recommend this is let's say he does win a Super Bowl here, you know, and he's in the midst of his 8-year deal. Let's say 2-3 years from now, Deshaun Watson wins a Super Bowl for the Houston Texans. Wow. They'll be able to tear up that deal again. He's leaving money on the table. Yeah, sure, right. You think they would not redo a deal with Deshaun Watson if he wins a Super Bowl? I think it's a win-win, man.
The rules are different with the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
These are the situations. John McClain says they're trying to reach a deal with Watson and Zach Cunningham. We'll keep an eye on that. Justin Reed still got a couple years left on his deal. He's heading into his third season with the Texans. We'll go live to training camp, hear from Justin Reed next.
Texans training camp is happening now.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, we're going to go live to camp right now. The uplifting one, Justin Reed at the podium, mingling with the media types. Here is the starting safety of your Houston Texans right here on Sports Radio 610, 3 weeks away from the start of the season.
Hey, Justin, how's it going?
What's up, man? All is well.
Good, good. Hey, so I know you weren't fully healthy last year. So could you take us through what this process is like in keeping your body right for the season, especially given how peculiar the offseason has been?
Yeah.
And then I do have a follow-up after that.
Yeah, well, you know, most of my offseason was, you know, the first phase of it was just rehabilitation post-surgery, making sure I'm coming into the building, doing what I need to do to make sure that my shoulder is healing the correct way. After a point that it hit a point of stability, then it was just rebuilding it back up, putting muscle back on, doing strengthening exercises. And now it's back to a point that is strong and stable and I'm comfortable and confident in it. And at this point, it's just maintenance, just making sure every once in a while, 1 or 2 weeks, I just get it checked out again, just get it stretched, do prehab, go see the trainers. They do a phenomenal job here and just make sure that I continue to stay on top of it. So I can be healthy throughout this season.
I understand that Deshaun is a year older than you, has a year on you in the league, but just from what you can tell, and obviously you got Anthony Weaver out there, y'all are doing some different things. Mm-hmm. Your assessment, how much better is Deshaun responding to certain situations, whether it be blitzes or just the various different looks that y'all give him in the 11 on the 11?
Yeah, it's a tangible feeling you have out there. I'm just playing against him. We give him a lot of exotic looks and he's able to just command the offense. I mean, half the time he's able to call out what we're doing. So, it's very noticeable, especially on the defensive side of the ball playing against him, that you've seen that he's taken those steps and he's really taken command and leadership of the huddle, with his play calling, with making adjustments and just having that calm, cool presence, almost like a dagger like mentality to attack, the looks that we're giving him. We're giving him a bunch of stuff. We have a bunch of veterans on both sides of the ball, and he's done a tremendous job handling it.
Hey, Justin, you guys had a lot of a churn at cornerback last year, and you bring back most of the same guys this year. What sort of benefit will that continuity be to the secondary?
Huge, because now it's not a whole bunch of new faces. We have a couple of new faces in Eric Murray, you know, Mike T, and Jalen Watkins. But for the most part, it's a lot of the same guys. So we already know that camaraderie, that chemistry with each other, the matchups that we're going to be looking for. The communication is probably the biggest thing in the sense that we already know those trigger terms that we use with each other communicating in the backfield whenever we work together. And just that veteran presence that you feel in the defense and in the secondary. We have a lot of guys that have played a lot of ball and bring a lot of different experiences, and we're able to feed off each other with that and really grow. So the backfield has been really strong. The communication has been good. And it's just exciting just to bring all the experience into one room.
Do you set personal goals for yourself every year? And if so, would you be able to share those with us?
Yeah. I try not to have my goal stick to, per se, I want 3 picks, right? Because you never know how many opportunities you're going to get. The goal that I set for myself is I don't want to drop any picks, right? Every opportunity that I get the chance to put my hands on the ball, I want to catch every single one of them. Obviously, I have individual goals, being all pro, Pro Bowl, all that. But more than that, it's just a team goal, you know, just winning in general. We want to do more than what we did last year. We want to start winning championships in Houston. And when you win on the team side of things and you accomplish team goals, then the individual accolades will just come along with that. So the big focus for me is doing what I can to help my teammates better them and also learn from them to better myself.
Hey, Justin, what have you thought about how the Texans have handled the COVID procedures and how safe you feel in the building right now?
Yeah, I feel extremely comfortable. I mean, we get COVID tested daily. We have all the latest technology and equipment. You don't even have to touch the doors to open them. Social distancing, getting your hands sanitized every other hour. You know, I think they've done a phenomenal job really transforming the entire building from before we came in here to now when we're in the building every day. And just keeping a good job of keeping everybody safe and healthy. And that's also credit to the players doing their part and not doing anything dumb in order to bring the virus into the building. has been going really well here.
Hey, Justin, I know you were doing some public service events, and I'm sure you had rehab during quarantine. What other some other things you were doing? I know Whitney was into wine books and JJ financial investing type things. What kind of things were you doing? What kind of things were you doing?
Yeah, well, aside from the social justice initiative I started participating in, I've always been a big proponent and supporter of just kids in general, whether it be with technology, donating laptops, going out and speaking, trying to be a mentor to the next generation. And also just learning a little bit myself. I took a few more classes at Stanford to chip away at my degree. They made the entire year online, so it made it very easy to take classes abroad just from my laptop. And aside from that, I got to spend the off season in Arizona working with the DB coach out there, and also a couple other DBs from around the league. Me and Roby were out there together. That helped build our chemistry together and really just dial in on the techniques. Once I was healthy for my surgery, to go out there and really start perfecting my craft, to come into the season this year feeling great. And, you know, the work that I put in the off season has shown up. I feel really comfortable and confident. And I'm also excited to continue to do the off-field stuff that I've been doing with social justice and also with the philanthropy, working with kids, and hopefully soon get my own foundation launched off the ground.
Hey, Justin, without giving away trade secrets, can you tell us what you like most about how you're going to be used in this new scheme and with Anthony Weaver?
Yeah, it's just a lot of opportunity for versatility and just a lot of opportunity in general. You know, we have a bunch of veteran players that all know ball. We're able to just move around, talk a lot. We're able to just do a whole bunch of different things just with the veteran presence, being able to communicate with each other. And I'm just excited about the plays that we've been stalling. You know, a lot of it's the same stuff that we've been doing. But just to have that experience on the field and be able to trust that my teammate's going to be there doing his job, I'm going to be able to do my job and to play full speed and have an aggressive mentality and be violent while doing it, you know. So that's the biggest exciting part for me. This is definitely the most experience I've ever been around on the defense as a whole, and you can feel that on the field.
Justin, you mentioned working with Roby in Arizona, and when he met with us, he talked about kind of with JJ being gone now, feeling like he needs to step up and be a little bit more of a veteran leader for this group. How have you seen that for him since you guys have all assembled back together?
Yeah, I mean, we got a bunch of veterans in the room. Roby has definitely stepped up and taken on some leadership roles. I myself, too. But that's the great thing about it is we have such a professional football team now with guys that know how to be pros that at any point in time, anyone can step up and be the leader, you know, in that space. So Roby's done a good job of it. I'd even say Eric Murray's done a great job of it too. Jalen, you know, all the veteran players we've had on our team have done a great job just being professionals day in and day out. And we have a standard of accountability that we hold each other to. So anyone in the room, if there's a violation of the accountability, can step up and call another player out on it. And we respect that. And there's a high level of respect across the room about it. And we maintain that standard.
What have you thought about what A.J. Moore has done during training camp so far?
A.J. Moore has been shining. I like what I've seen from A.J. He's been making plays. He had opportunity to make a couple more plays today in practice. He's been doing an excellent job, you know, getting the guys all excited about, you know, the interception he had two practices ago. I got nothing but good things to say about A.J. He's a hard worker, comes to work every day. You can already expect the energy he's going to bring. He brings it every single time. He's a great player.
Justin Reed, uplifting Justin Reed, talking about all pros and Pro Bowls, by the way.
I did like that. I did like what he said about Deshaun Watson. And you know, you kind of rolled your eyes if we're pulling back the curtain when somebody asked him about A.J. Moore. I like that. I think Moore has been mentioned more and more. This is one of those things that if we were out there and we saw him, we wouldn't ignore it. You know, I know it's not a superstar type player, but it seems like he's making some noise out there.
I like A.J. Moore on special teams. I think he's really good. I just don't understand how you play 20 snaps in 2 years at safety.
And then all of a sudden you're in the mix.
And then all of a sudden we're hearing about him making plays in practice. That just seems really weird to me. I mean, in last year there was times where they didn't even, like, against the Chiefs, Lonnie Johnson had to basically play safety, and A.J. Moore didn't even step on the field. Like, it's weird.
Maybe it's A.J. Weaver Moore factor.
Oh, Weaver likes Moore?
No, the scheme fits him better, or whatever the sets are that he's using.
So I just wonder what the safety numbers are going to be, because you know Reed's going to be on the team. You know Murray's going to be on the team. And then you got Jalen Watkins, and then you have
Jonathan Owens,
A.J. Moore, and
Mr. Simone Biles,
and Michael Thomas. Like, yeah. You got all these guys. It's going to be interesting to see how those numbers do stack up. We're 40 minutes away from the best Thursday ever. Let's sprint into the best day ever, celebrate National Radio Day next. Yes.
Texans training camp is happening now.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
35 minutes, first pitch of the Astros versus the Rockies. Stroh's looking for a sweep of the Rockies. Two in Houston. They've won the first one in Colorado. Looking for the sweep, looking for their eighth straight win. If they do that, they're going to do it without the baseball messiah, Alex Bregman. Bregman on the injured list, the latest Astro to be on the injured list after pulling up lame yesterday in the top of the fourth inning after an opposite field double. I was more proud of this Astros team yesterday and really this season than I've been in the last few years. And I know we're talking about a World Series team. We're talking about one of the best teams in the league the last few years. It's not easy, but it's almost expected when you're one of the most talented teams in baseball to play at the level that the Astros have played at. They've had Gerrit Cole. They've had Justin Verlander. They've had the best lineup in baseball. They've been the most talented team. That's not the case this year.
Right.
They have 10 guys that are making their big league debuts out of the bullpen. They've had injury after injury after injury after injury, significant injuries. Justin Verlander down. Roberto Osuna down. Yordan Alvarez comes back, and then all of a sudden he's done. But this team has scratched and clawed, and they're currently 3.5 games up in the for second place in the AL West, which gets you into the playoffs. As far as being proud of the Astros, this is the most proud I've been of them, because they're showing heart. They're showing grit. They're showing that they're not front runners.
And I think what it is this Astros team is not going to be like just roll the ball out there. And to mix metaphors here, but just roll the ball out there. You're just so much better than anybody else. You're going to get it done. You know, someone's going to be a hero. Someone's going to pitch a great game. I think you have to scramble more with this team. And I think you and a lot of people, myself included, like that uncertainty, that scramble, and which really kind of reveals a lot of grit. I think, and I know that's cliche. Sorry. Sometimes cliches are true. But I think that's what you're talking about. It's like you sit down to watch the Astros and you see a team that has to really work more than previous teams. Again, not to say they didn't, but then previous teams would have to.
Yeah, and I think Carlos Correa yesterday, it's just I don't think it's a coincidence that as soon as Bregman went down and Astros fans were at a complete low. I mean, it seemed like people were just defeated, and rightfully so, because right after you find out Yordan Alvarez is out for the season, Alex Bregman hits an opposite field double and he pulls up lame. You just felt kind of defeated. And in that very next inning, Carlos Correa hits the solo shot and the Astros never look back. I just don't think it's a coincidence that Carlos Correa stepped it up in that situation as he has all season long. But I think in that moment, I think it's just kind of symbolic of what Carlos Correa is becoming.
Yeah, I think what it also shows is that Correa is not only becoming, you know, a leader, you know, on the field, and a leader that we really didn't expect, you know, kind of a face of the franchise kind of guy. But beyond that, he's just showing how much talent he has. We've seen it. We've seen long stretches of it. But we're waiting for that MVP year. I mean, he might be having it. I mean, I know there's some guys out there that are having good years, but if he keeps this up, he's clutch. He's batting 331, I think, something like that. Getting on base over 400, and obviously has a lot of RBI too.
That's going to be post game show, by the way, going to be Facebook Live today. So we're not going to, obviously Clint and show are going to be holding it down when the game concludes, and they'll keep you up to date on everything going on. But the post game show will be a Facebook Live today. With yours truly. Also, while the Astros are playing, you're going to have a playoff game. So you're going to have an NBA playoff game, Rockets versus Thunder game 2.
I'm enjoying watching Russell Westbrook, and he's not even playing. You want to talk about someone being in the game. Russell Westbrook, his level of give a damn is about as high as you can see for someone who's not out there. You can tell he really wants to be on the court, but he's in it, and it's got to be something that his teammates kind of feel when you have a superstar at the end of the bench just basically acting almost like a head cheerleader. Like, he is into the game. I can respect Russell Westbrook's passion.
Oh, absolutely. Not being in the game. You know, not only that he's into it and he wants to win so bad, I think he also just realizes how what the story is here. I mean, Chris Paul on the other side, it's killing him not to be able to be out there, but he sure as heck wants this team to beat him.
Chris Paul is having a hell of a year. I think he deserves MVP votes, but I just don't see how you can do anything with this team. Like, I'm not feeling the Oklahoma City Thunder as a threat to the Rockets. I'm really, really not. I've been wrong before, but I don't think I will be about this. I think the Rockets are just a better team. I think they're better coached. I think James Harden's the best player on the court. It's a scrappy Oklahoma City team. If it were traditional and I thought the Rockets had to get on a plane and go to Oklahoma City, I would maybe give them a chance to push it. But I just think in this environment, I think if you beat them today, I could see them laying down. I think teams are going to start laying down in the
bubble.
I agree
with that.
Yeah, the coming back from 2-2 down to even the series when you play the games on your court, first of all, that's eliminated. Second of all, I think a lot of these guys are ready to get the F out of there. Oklahoma City knows they're not going to win the championship. They know that. Like, yeah. Come on. Like, I'm not breaking news. The Oklahoma City Thunder aren't going to win a championship. They don't have any championship hopes. They're ready to get the hell out of there. Once you beat them down, if you take a 2-0 lead, they're going to lay down.
I think that's true. Now, that I will absolutely co-sign. It's a total different feel than if you were traveling, to Oklahoma City. Because even if you lose the first two in a regular home-and-home NBA playoff series, even if you lose the first two, I mean, you're up against it. Game two is very, very important. But at least you have that feeling of, all right, we're going home. Crowd's going to be crazy. We're going to be in our friendly confines. We'll find a way, and then we'll worry about game four then. You lose this game too, you're going to be playing in the same building. Now, there'll be different production because your home crew will be playing its music and stuff, but it isn't going to be that big of a factor.
How crazy is it that the Texans are 3 weeks away from playing?
I woke up this morning, and you're really good at the countdowns. You know, it's 30-whatever days till Texans camp. It's 30-whatever days till the season opener. But I woke up this morning, and I looked at my calendar, and I went, dang, man, 3 weeks. That's
crazy.
Nothing.
It's insane.
That's nothing.
It's really
insane.
We'll
be playing the Kansas City Chiefs in 3 weeks.
Football season will be going on.
Yeah. Like right now.
I mean, it's just going to sneak
up on
you.
We'd be leading into the pregame show.
Yeah. I mean, it's insane. Like, it is absolutely insane to think that next time we turn on a microphone, it's going to be 20 days.
Yeah.
Then next Monday, it's going to be like 2 weeks and change. It's insane. It's just coming out of nowhere, and everything just keeps sneaking up. But you got a great buffet of sports that's going to begin in about less than 30 minutes. Get those work excuses in. Hell, just enjoy the day and take Friday off and fire up that radio.com app and celebrate Football Friday with us tomorrow. It's National Radio Day. Speaking of celebrations,
congratulations to, I know some really, really intense radio geeks, like big time radio geeks. I don't know if I know any radio geek who's more of a radio geek than you. And that's a compliment. Meltzer's a radio geek. Figgy's a radio geek. Cody was a radio geek. I don't know if I know anyone who's a bigger radio geek than you.
It's kind of insulting, isn't
No,
it?
It's a compliment. Compliment.
Yeah, I just like sports radio. I've always been kind of drawn to it.
When you think sports radio, play-by-play or shows, because the one that I'm thinking of was a play-by-play guy. And you probably never even heard of this cat. But I would literally, like something out of an old book, I would literally fall asleep at night hearing his voice on my transistor radio.
Okay.
Listening to ABA basketball.
Okay.
And I slept with my two of my brothers and my cousin slept in the same room, so there were four of us, and they would all throw pillows at me to turn down the radio because I was listening to ABA basketball. So I was probably 1973. I was 10, 11 years old. Terry Stembridge put me to bed. I can't even count how many times. He used to call ABA basketball games, Spurs basketball games. And that dude got me, I mean, he's a big reason why I'm even in the business.
Really?
Yeah, Terry Stembridge.
Terry Stembridge?
Terry Stembridge. Great okay. voice, great call. He did it all. How about you?
Randy Galloway. Randy Galloway was my guy. That was I was a dude I grew up on. I got to produce his show when he retired. That was my guy. Mm-hmm. That was always my guy. All
Biggie?
The way through.
The Breakfast Club, man. I was a big fan of the Breakfast Club before they were syndicated.
Yeah.
So I used to stream it on the app, and I just never knew I could get into this type of business. I thought there was something you had to be born to do.
Well, you were. You were born to do it.
I guess so. I didn't realize it during that time. And I figured out I could go to a broadcasting school, mm-hmm. and the rest is history.
How about
I worked
that?
My way up.
How about that? Figgy, I am reluctant to say this, but since it's National Radio Day, does anything pop into your mind immediately from our show?
A lot of things pop in my mind. But I got a couple things that I think stick out the most.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear them. Fearfully.
Yeah, I don't know about this.
A little scared.
Shoot, Lopez will probably buy you a shot or something, man.
Ooh, Lopez that generous, man, huh? Man,
Lopez,
the OG.
Lopez got that bread. Man. So if you got
that's
that
what
bread,
the rumor is.
You know
that's
what
the rumor is.
Especially if you're like a, you know, Lopez. He's a lightweight, kind of creepy guy. So if you, like lightweight, like a low key guy, that's like, hey, he's not gonna do anything, but he's gonna enjoy seeing. So if you're an attractive young lady, you come up,
you cannot call him creepy.
I didn't call him creepy. I said he's a low key creep. There's a difference. There's a difference.
Oh, I knew I was gonna hear that.
That's one of your favorites.
Well, not really. It's Figgy's favorite.
What else you got?
All right, this is kind of relating to today because Landry, you kept saying this is not really a game with the Rockets.
God. I know where this is.
So this one.
T-squared bowl.
What the hell does that mean?
Tennessee tune-up.
Come
this
on,
is a
man.
Tennessee tune-up. In fact, we've had a lot of conversations about jerseys and should the Texans wear their color rush. They might as well wear their practice jerseys on Sunday because there's no chance in hell that the Denver Broncos leave NRG with a W. Texans facing the Broncos in what I am calling the T-squared bowl, also known as Tennessee tune-up.
Stop it, man.
We haven't practiced. We talking about practice. All right, we already know the Texans are going to win on Sunday. It is the Tennessee tune-up, as I like to call it. So let's just chalk the Texans up 9-4,
Clint.
Damn it,
dog. Stop it, man. You're jinxing these boys, man. I told you. You done watched them backslide against Carolina and Jacksonville. We don't need that to happen again, and you just kind of talking it into existence. Quit it.
You well, did.
It happened.
Now you're trying again.
Definitely happened. Yeah, I'm already looking past Oklahoma City. The Oklahoma City Thunder. Big time. 100% big time.
Terry Stembridge broadcast 1,252 consecutive Chaparrales and Spurs games.
That was your guy?
That was my guy. Dallas Chaparrales, by the way.
When did you first do a radio show?
Outside of like a couple of little things in college when you take your broadcast course and all that stuff, the first real radio I did was in Spanish. Half times and pregame, like a show, a guest, whatever, on Houston Oilers games from 1993 to 1996. And then started radio on a daily basis outside of guests. Like I would do national stuff and, you know, whatever, be a guest here and there. But like a daily thing was I think it was May of 2005. So, yeah, May of 2005.
Biggie's got some more of his favorites. Here's some more on National Radio Day.
Said it wouldn't happen anywhere else in Texas but Lubbock.
No, I didn't say that. I said I know it wouldn't happen at A&M.
I realize you're an Aggie, and that's okay. And I'm a Red Raider, and that's okay. But saying it wouldn't happen anywhere else in Texas, which we said Waco.
I didn't say that. I did not say that. I said it wouldn't happen at A&M or Texas. I didn't say it wouldn't happen anywhere else in Texas.
You said it wouldn't happen anywhere else in Texas.
I did not say that. I did not say that. I did not say that. Okay?
I'll let that be a difference of opinion.
Difference of opinion? It's not an opinion. This guy's like, okay, we'll agree to disagree. No.
No, you don't. You can't agree and disagree on a fact. My goodness. All right, what else we got, Fig? One more. Stu, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Oh, gosh.
Landry.
What up?
You keep telling people you're tired of hearing that. You don't want to hear it. People might be tired of hearing you, too. You run your mouth all the time.
You're right.
Well, you keep putting down all plays. Y'all are like, you don't ever talk good about them. I think people are just tired of hearing you.
What specifically are you tired of hearing, Stu? What are you upset about, man? Talk to me, man. You think A.J. Hinch did a good job yesterday? I mean, you want me to come on here and celebrate the Game 7 loss in the World Series? What do you want me to do for you, man? I mean, like, to just lay it out for me, man.
They won 107 games.
Okay.
They made it 7 games World Series. They just happened to get beat.
That's it. It's that simple. That's it. They just got beat.
That's right.
Why'd they get beat?
Because Washington, for 7 games, outplayed them.
Yeah?
As simple as that. You just complain about everything. Blame O'Brien for everything that happened. Yeah. You don't give him no credit for winning. You're just a bad radio person, Landry. That's all there is to it.
Stu, thank you for your call, man.
All right, bye.
God, I love Stu. We're BFFs now.
Oh, he's your boy.
My boy right there. Yeah. He's on it. I think he's been married 6 times, Stu.
That's laying the pipe right there, man.
Laying the pipe.
Yeah.
And I think 4 of them was blind.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You talked to him off air, right?
Stu is blind. Stu's a good dude.
He mentioned it on there.
Oh,
shout
he did?
Out to Stu. Stu's a good dude. It's a good time to be alive. We're less than 20 minutes away right now from the Astros and then the Rockets. So I'm going to enjoy it. I hope you enjoy it as well. Tomorrow is going to be Football Friday. We'll be 20 days away from the Texans opening the season. 20 days. 20 days.
20.
John.
How many?
2-0. Throwback 2-0. Gary Payton.
20.
Throwback Gary Payton.
Yeah.
Shout out to the glove. My goodness. Who ain't walking through that door for the Oklahoma City Thunder. It is definitely – this is just a little practice. It's cute. It's cute that Oklahoma City's showing up, but you can start packing your bags now because it's not going to be much longer for Chris Paul and the Oklahoma City Thunder.
This is worse than the Tennessee tune-up.
Well, I mean, let's be honest.
Don't make me pull for the – Thunder tonight.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't,
just so I can see the carnage tomorrow.
Don't let me make you do that. That's not at all what you want to see or what you want to do. I just don't see it. I don't see the path for the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Astros, man, you want to talk about a shorthanded team right now.
They're showing some you know cojones, man.
If they win this game today, man. That's going to be
big time.
8 in a row. And by the way, I think that karma's on their side when it comes to that second spot in the AL West. Because I think the Rangers, with how they've acted the last few years, have kind of become the joke of baseball.
They turned
right
off
now.
their comments.
They turned off their mentions.
Mentions,
on Twitter.
Yeah.
The Astros never did that all year.
Soft.
That's soft because you got soft. Criticized for calling out someone for hitting a grand
they
slam.
They turned off their mention.
Soft. And then said, not today, trolls, like they were showing the world what was going on.
Get out of here.
That was trash. For the OG, John Lopez, thanks to John McClain, Sean Pendergast, Justin Reed, Bill O'Brien for hopping on
I would
the
also
show.
Like
no, we don't
out.
Have time. For Figgy Fig being the best in the world at what he do, I'm Landry Locker. This has been another edition of In the Loop. Everybody enjoy the best Thursday ever. I'll be on Facebook Live for postgame, but in the meantime, Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley are next.
Thank you, Peggy.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.